Hello, everyone. You're listening to America Meditating Radio. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts on demand 24/7. I'm Sister Jenna, host of the syndicated America Meditating Radio. Join us as we talk one-on-one with leading experts who answer life's most compelling questions, because in a world of uncertainty, we need answers right here, right now. America Meditating Radio, a show for everyone to learn more about this amazing thing called life. I rise above. I'm the master of my own mind. I sit here with a pure intention to gain mastery over my thoughts, and therefore mastery over my words and actions. As I hear the thoughts through words of others, I ask myself, is that my truth? My original nature is one of love, peace, purity, truth, and joy. And sometimes when I hear the words that do not match my original nature, I have the choice to rise above and remember who I really am. As a master of my mind, I decide which thoughts stay and which thoughts must go. I choose to rise above. As I rise above in consciousness and interpretations of stories, narratives that no longer support my truth or present, a greater power, a greater peace, and acceptance for myself and others surrounds me. In this moment, as a master of my mind, I rise above, replacing thoughts of fear, anger, greed, and divide, thoughts of belonging, respect, love, and wisdom. As I rise above, I find clarity, a deeper meaning, and the courage to continue to move on. I rise above, and I remember who I am and why I'm here, and that is to love everyone the same. Let me sit in the state of being above.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host,
Sister Jenna, and that was I Rise from my latest album, Inclusion Revolution Together with Love, which was definitely inspired as a result of the current vibrations on our planet, the current conversations, the current narrative, and the fact that I believe in a better tomorrow. And we can serve all of this energy that we are witnessing tremendously by just letting it keep entering the spirit. You know, we see it on our Twitter, we see it on the Facebook, Instagram, we hear it on the news, we pass by the newspaper, we're at a counter, we say hello to a friend and someone will say, did you hear what happened today? And, you know, I think it's just so important for us to be very, very mindful as to what we allow the soul to choose to listen to receive, to feel, to own, because it's not a healthy energy at this time. Now, the flip side of all of that is you can still use all of that energy that you would have used for that into choosing, you know, that which will take us towards a world of harmony and peace and an atmosphere of unity and inclusion, a dialogue of respect and diversity. I believe that when there are a lot of various individuals in a room, and you can listen to each other's story. And there's no doubt we're all different anyway at a level of the soul's journey. We've all come in here at different times, and so we're different in itself. But at the physical level, whether it's the color of my skin or a religion that I've chosen to adapt to or a nationality or a language, be around a lot of people who are just different than you. Because what can happen is you can learn so much more about who you really are, but also perhaps expand your empathy to embrace the fact that we were all made very different and we are all going to live a life of expressing that difference. But there's something beautiful if we can all do it with love, dignity, divinity, grace, integrity. It's the soul that's doing everything. And if our souls are caught up in a vibration of just the limited, what you see, what you hear, what somebody has told you, without you doing your own investigative work and listening in silence to who you are supposed to be in that scene, to how are you supposed to express your better side, then you waste a lot of time, wasting a lot of energy on an area that you could have perhaps maybe contributed that which could elevate another generation. Stay tuned. We're about to have the amazing Gary Zukavs on the air, and we're going to be having a heart-to-heart conversation about this thing called soul. Here's a little bit of a mentioning of some of our sponsors.
Over 30,000 homeless children live in the streets of La Paz, Bolivia. Most of these children live on the bridges and cemeteries or wherever they can find shelter. They eat whatever they can find, steal or beg. Father Joseph Maria Neuenhofer, a German priest, has dedicated his entire life in helping these children. For the last 23 years, Foundation Arco Iris, founded and led by Father Neuenhofer, has helped thousands of these children in providing shelter, food, education, and medical care through the Foundation's hospital. For more information and to donate to Foundation Arco Iris, go to www.arcoirisamerica.org.
Hello, I am Dr. Margaret Fitzpatrick, president of St. Thomas Aquinas College, a vibrant, student-centered institution located in the New York City metropolitan area. St. Thomas Aquinas College provides a quality education in our schools of arts and science, business, and education. Enroll at St. Thomas Aquinas College, where we promote social responsibility through community engagement and create responsible citizens and leaders. Visit us at www.stac.edu.
when we lose the call, there's nothing more to do than call on you. Love and gratitude.
Welcome back, everyone. That was Love and Gratitude by Kristen Hoffman, an incredible artist. Do look out for her music on Amazon. Hope you enjoyed that, because I think this is the age that we're waking up in more and more. And as I always mention in a lot of my sharings, but we all have to become our own teachers so we can stay awake, because the intensity of the vibrations is such that without any effort, it's going to try to perhaps put us back to sleep. But we want to turn to our next guest who might help us to stay awake and even to awaken others. I'm so pleased to invite Gary Zukav. Gary has this very gentle presence, a great sense of humor, and he carries a lot of insightful wisdom. It has inspired millions to realize their soul's greatest potential. A master teacher and eloquent author of 4 consecutive New York Times bestsellers, Gary is dedicated to the current extraordinary transformation in human consciousness, an unprecedented threshold in the human experience. Now, his writings have touched millions of readers and many more viewers through Gary's numerous feature appearances, especially on The Oprah Winfrey Show. Gary Zukav is a co-founder of the Seat of the Soul Institute with Linda Francis and an elder on the Council of Elders, Native American Earth Ambassadors. He also serves on the advisory board of the Human Kindness Foundation. And even though we talk about all these accolades of Gary, at the heart of Gary, what I have sensed from his sharings and even meeting him at Oprah's house once for dinner, just a beautiful spirit. Gary, welcome to the AM show. Glad to have you.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Yes, definitely. Now, we know your story, but I don't know if all of our listeners know your story. A Harvard graduate, a former U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret officer with Vietnam service, and you've been through a lot back in the days. Perhaps you might have labeled yourself a little bit not so peaceful. Would that be safe to say?
And, oh, sure. I would have labeled myself much more frightened. Much more in the control of frightened parts of my personality than I am today.
Right, right. What got you on your journey to listen to your own soul, basically signal to you, Gary, I don't think this is who you are?
Well, it's what you're asking, and I think, is how did I become aware of non-physical reality?
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely.
I have been aware of it without understanding what it is since I was probably at least a teenager. I was at my grandmother's funeral, my favorite grandmother, when I was laughing at a closed-circuit TV system that they had, which was very novel in those days, and she jerked my hand down. She was standing behind me, beside me, and she said, shh, just like she did when she would walk me through the lobby of her building after we'd eaten in the restaurant, and was introducing me to so many of her friends, all of them with gray hair. And if I didn't acknowledge one properly, she would jerk my hand down and say, shh. Well, that's what she did at her funeral. So I couldn't really grieve her, although my parents were in distress. And I didn't tell them about that for 20 or 30 years because I didn't think they'd believe me or could believe me. But I didn't realize until later that is called non-physical reality and a connection with it. But when it really became more real to me, or I became aware of what it is, was when I was writing my first book on physics. Isn't that ironic? And as I was writing, as I was writing these chapters in The Dancing Wu Li Masters, I wouldn't follow my outline. I'd always follow the energy. And after six chapters, I realized they were all fitting together as though someone had planned it. And I wondered, who's planning this? How can this be happening? And then I realized in several ways that I'm not writing this alone. Doesn't mean I'm a channel or I don't have to work or apply or research or use my knowledge of language and grammar. But no one is alone, so it's impossible to create alone. And I began to realize that and my first experiences of authentic power. Those were experiences of wanting to give, to contribute, of waking up in the morning wanting to contribute, wanting to get back to the book, and going to bed that way. And before that, I was about 35 when this happened. Everything in my life was just for me. Me, me, me.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my first gift to life. I wanted to share what I was learning with lay people like me, non-scientists, liberal arts majors, but who were interested in this thing called quantum physics.
The self.
They said non-physical reality wasn't a part of this book. But it was a part of my experience as I was writing it for the first time.
So here you are quite a few years later, let's say many years later. Has your interpretation of your non-physical energy or the non-physical interpretation of the journey changed at all?
Well, my understanding has emerged and broadened and expanded. These first experiences were 40 years ago. I'll be experiencing my 75th winter soon. And in that time, I feel as though I've changed myself with the support of the universe. And that's what I love to share with people. If you want to change yourself, it's up to you, because you make the decisions that create the consequences in your life, or call it karma. You choose the energy that will draw people of like energy to you. You call that the law of attraction, perhaps. But understanding your intention, which you mentioned earlier, and choosing it consciously is what shapes your life, because what you're choosing is between the intention of love and the intention of fear. Fear, for example, did you experience it as anger or jealousy or resentment or superiority or inferiority or entitlement or need to please or compulsions or addictions? All of that's fear. And when you experience love, you experience gratitude, appreciation, patience, caring, awe of the universe. And the choice is always yours. And we're waking up to this choice now, because all of these things are making sense to millions of people, because
nothing is making sense now. It's an insane time.
It is a time in which we are moving towards sanity, but not as though sanity is calling us. It is, but we need to choose it. That's the difference between fear and love. Love is real, and that's why following it leads to fulfillment and joy. Fear is an illusion, and that's why following it cannot bring you meaning or fulfillment or joy. The best it can do is bring you temporary happiness when you get what a frightened part of your personality wants. What I'm suggesting is that we are in the midst of an unprecedented transformation in human consciousness. Unprecedented. It is the expansion of our awareness beyond the limitations of the five senses. And that's why millions of us now are beginning to experience ourselves as more than minds and bodies, but as souls as well.
Right.
And we're beginning to experience our world as not random, but meaningful and informative to us about ourselves. And we're beginning to experience the universe not as inert or dead, but as alive and wise and compassionate. And I feel that's why you and I and all of our listeners are in communication this morning, because of this transformation in consciousness. It wouldn't have happened in the 1930s or the 1940s or 50s. Or even the 60s.
Yeah, even the 60s.
Even in the 60s. This transformation, we're over the threshold. We're in it. But it's only about three decades old. So we're all pioneers.
In your recent blog about the tragic killings in Las Vegas, you said that these are exactly the times when creating authentic power is needed most and will be most fruitful. Elaborate a little bit on it. How can we actually go about making a more conscious choice to love and emerge more compassion and forgiveness? Especially, let's say, there are individuals that really haven't been living a life of the non-physical energy or a deeper sense of self. How can they even begin to interpret cultivating their own authentic power at this time?
Well, I won't speak for those who aren't multisensory, but I will speak for those who are listening to this program. And I believe your example of Las Vegas, the shootings in Las Vegas, is a wonderful example. It's so very easy to blame the person who did this killing, deranged, sociopathic, whatever he was. We don't know much about him now. And it's so easy to feel tragedy in this circumstance because 58 people died. But as we become multisensory, we begin to see that everyone in the Earth School, and I'm using that to refer to this span of time between your birth and your death, as experience of a personality that is an energy tool of your soul. So I wouldn't say that you're a soul in a body. I would say you're a body in a soul. And it's up to you as a personality, the one who carries your name, the one that was born on a certain day and will die on a certain day, to become aware enough to recognize when fear is active in you and when love is active in you. And you can do that by developing emotional awareness. And that's one of the things that Linda Francis, my spiritual partner, and I teach and we write about and we talk about like now. And once you're aware of the difference between love and fear within yourself, then developing the ability to choose love, no matter what's happening inside of you, like anger, rage, hatred, or what's happening outside of you, like the killings in Las Vegas, or like another 9/11 event, to be able to choose love consciously instead of fear, even when fear is calling you, even when you're angry, even when you're justified in your righteousness, that is when you create authentic power. Because as you do that repeatedly, the frightened part of your personality that's enraged, justified, righteous, condemning, blaming, criticizing, proselytizing, all of those things, as you challenge it again and again by responding to it instead of reacting on it, that part of your personality begins to lose its control over you, and you gain control over it, and that is creating authentic power. So you can use anything.
It makes sense.
You can use anything, like the killings in Las Vegas, like what you might not like about the government, or what you do like about the government in a righteous way. So what I'm suggesting is, for me and for multisensory humans, I think it does make sense, but the real evaluation is in your heart. Do you resonate with this? Do you resonate with your being responsible for your choices moment by moment, and the choices that you have moment by moment are really only between two intentions, love and fear? Because
love and fear.
We are powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirits. And with each choice of intention, you bring a reality into being. You shape energy into matter. You infuse the consciousness of love or the consciousness of fear in what you do and what you say. And in my experience, this is an ongoing process. So it was 40 years ago when I described my experiences of writing the Dancing Wuli Masters. But that's 40 years worth of practicing to recognize the difference between love and fear. I think that most people are much faster learners than I am because consciousness can change dramatically and quickly. But you are the one that decides whether you're going to change yours. And from my perception, it's not the soul that's making choices. It's you That's your responsibility. That was why the soul incarnated in one of its forms in you, so that you can use your free will to continue to create painful and destructive consequences with your choices, and in which case you're not judged or blamed by the universe. You just don't change, and you continue to live in these hells of jealousy or righteousness or anger. Or
indeed,
you begin to choose from love and experience for yourself the meaning and purpose and vitality and creativity and joy that comes from that.
Gary, you mentioned earlier in your conversation about Linda Francis, and I know that in 1999 you started the Seed of the Soul Institute. I would love for everyone to know a little bit about the Institute and its mission, and if there are any upcoming events or programs that are actually taking place.
The Seed of the Soul Institute, the purpose of it is to support individuals around the world in creating authentic power and spiritual partnerships. And so we have activities and programs, like a one-year program called Authentic Power Immersion, and we have a five-day summer retreat called The Journey to the Soul. And we have a life school that you can subscribe to and ask Linda and me questions and visit a living video library of several hundred videos and watch people who are creating authentic power. And we have books and we have online courses. All of that is the Seed of the Soul Institute. And by the way, the website is seedofthesoul.com, S-E-A-T. Mm-hmm. of the SOUL.com. And Linda and I are spiritual partners, but we're also spiritual partners with our granddaughters. Maybe we can be a spiritual partner with you and with some of the people who are listening to us now. Spiritual partnership is partnership between equals for the purpose of spiritual growth. And that means creating authentic power. And that means becoming emotionally aware and self-responsible and choosing love instead of fear at every opportunity, which means, really, in every moment.
So beautiful. Your vision of the world, I know you've touched on it so far during our conversation. And I mean practical, a practical vision of the future world, let's say in the next 10 or 20 years, starting from where you are today. What's your projection of how you believe the world will morph into?
It's not the world that morphs. It's you. And as you morph, as you change yourself with your own volition, you begin to contribute moment by moment to the many collectives in which you are evolving. Your family, your neighborhood, your region, your state, your country, and then the larger collectives of your culture, your religion, your ethnic group, your gender. The micro needs to emerge before all the goodness that you're longing for can emerge in the macro. What you're calling the world is the macro. The macro won't change until the micro changes. And you are the micro. You, not you and your neighbors, not you and your family, not you and the people in your meditation group or book club, but you. If you say to yourself, why should I change, when there are millions, hundreds of millions of people who aren't interested, why should I change when there's so much brutality and cruelty in the world and the people who are doing it aren't going to change? You disempower yourself. You lose all ability to access your heart. Compassion disappears in you. And when you see someone who's brutal or acting viciously, you will judge them, condemn them, feel superior and righteous. But if you have no compassion for those who have no compassion, what's the difference between you? If you want to change the world, the only place you can do it is in yourself. That's to create authentic power. If you're trying to change someone else, that's pursuing external power. That's the old understanding of power. That's power is the ability to manipulate and control. And that produces only violence and destruction, emotional between people and their relationships, and physically between nations and their interactions.
Gary, what are you working on personally now for you? Like, when you observe yourself for the last maybe month or two or three and where you are today, is there something very subtle, very deep that you've acknowledged or recognized? This is something now that's calling you to work more on. Is there something specific?
Oh, yes, lots of them. Every time I'm in a power struggle with Linda, every time I find myself judging, every time I find myself feeling superior, every time I find myself wanting to please, that's what I'm challenging. That's what the moment gives, each moment. That's why I say so clearly, the world is offering us opportunities, you opportunities, every moment, to learn about yourself. And if you squander your energy by just trying to learn about the world or change the world, you don't really change anything.
Beautiful. Love it. Gary Zukav, you are a treat, a blessing, and wishing you and Linda all the very best, especially with your work. It's a continued contribution at this time, and I know that it's doing a lot of powerful work. Is it safe to say that everyone can find you at seedofthesoul.com?
Yes, completely safe. However, yes, that's the best way to do it.
All right. Do you have any upcoming talks?
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, we're going to be on Long Island on November the, I think it's the 18th. We may have an event in Manhattan on the 19th, but I'm not sure. We're going to be in India in January and in Japan in May in Tokyo. So wherever you are, you can go to seedofthesoul.com under events, and you'll find just where we are. And I would love to meet you, and I'd love to introduce you to Linda, and I know she'd love to meet you too. So if you're anywhere near where we are, please come and join us.
Definitely. We'll definitely look into it. Gary, lots of good wishes and blessings, and thanks for your wisdom.
And to you as well, and thank you for the honor of allowing me to share on this program with you. I know it's a precious endeavor to you.
It is. Many blessings. Take care. That was Gary Zukav. Don't you just love the wisdom? I think the more we keep hearing tools and techniques to help us to evolve and to remain evolved, to me the biggest thing is stay awake, remain evolved, stay on the penthouse, don't go on the ground level. And despite the barrage of information that we have that tends to be at a lower frequency, as Gary says, choose love. Choose love. If you're not loving, then the vibration of the energy of fear is sitting somewhere in the soul, and it's testing you to choose either the fear or the love. I love that. And as simplistically as Gary just shared it with us, it's such a reality, and we need to recognize and value that. Well, guess who we've got on the air today after such a long time? Her little hiatus and her vacation. There's a post on the America Meditating Facebook with her, singing her Every Little Cell in Her Body is Happy. Please go to it and do share your comment. Is the lovely Sister Gita. So Sister Gita, what is your treat today? So good to have you. It's been a long time.
Good afternoon. Takes one to know one, right?
Yes.
Okay, so taken from Nurturing the Soul by Yogi Mohini. What is self-awareness? Om Shanti. Om Shanti means I am peace, and I greet you with peace. Peace is my religion. During the day, when the mind is all over the place, say to yourself, Om Shanti. When you say this internally, not as a chant, but as an awareness, then you are reminded of who you are. We call it self-awareness, the knowledge that we are peaceful beings, beings of light. The first step in meditation is this awareness. Who am I? We then have to become aware of our own selves before we can connect with the beautiful being, God, or even before we can have peaceful relationship with others. Who am I? I am a being of light. My original nature is of peace, purity, love, bliss, and happiness. I am using my senses to speak, my hands to move, and my feet to walk. We need to ask ourselves, who is performing these actions, these activities? We are using the feet, the hands, and the mouth, but they're not who we are. We are the beings of light. Our natural qualities are of love, peace, happiness, and bliss. These are the natural qualities we experience when we are in the awareness of our original nature. When we are not in that awareness, negative energy starts manifesting, and then there is anger, disturbance, and carelessness. Do remember to check, who am I? Who is doing this task? Om Shanti. Om Shanti.
As usual, just dynamic. Sister Gita, thank you so very much. That was lovely. We really appreciate your wisdom. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless we or you give them permission. We are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Here's Sunrise from Bliss. Take care, everyone.